Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his special guest, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his special guest this evening, press star 3 at any time on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his special guest, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, you, and thank you to all of the residents participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas I receive come directly from these calls. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall. And my special guest and friend, State Senator Pat Brown. We will discuss the topic of the Keystone Savers Plan. That's all about saving for retirement. You can ask questions that you may have. This format will allow you to listen in, ask questions from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Now, let me introduce my special guest, Senator Pat Brown.
Hello, Art. How you doing?
Great.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Very important topic. I had an opportunity to work with you over the last several years in areas relating to budgeting and retirement security. I want to just thank you for your leadership because it's really, really important on issues that are new and difficult and things that we need to build bipartisan support for. Just a little bit about myself. I've been in the Assembly for it's my 24th year. Serving the State House for about half of that time. From Allentown, born and raised in Allentown, and I have my professional background is in primarily finances and taxes. I'm a CPA and a tax attorney. So try to focus on those areas because those areas I tend to know a little bit more than other things. And the thing we're talking about tonight is something I'm very excited to see advance through the Assembly.
Thank you so much. And just for all the callers, you may not know that we have had a significant retirement challenge here in Pennsylvania where individuals can get to the age of 85 or 88, I've been told, and then be out of money. And we know that there are a number of people who get to retirement and they have $1,000 or less. And so we began to come up with a response, a response to this lack of money, response to people not having able to retire with dignity. And that is what we call the Keystone Savers Plan. And it is really very straightforward. It allows a person who's in a workplace where there's no retirement plan, and there's about 2 million people in that situation. And so there's no retirement plan, and there's no way for them to save automatically for retirement. And so several states have come up with this approach so that through basic payroll deduction, an individual can save for retirement, and we at the state will merely manage the retirement savings. It's an IRA, tax-free. But the automatic deduction and having the state manage the investments means that the individual decisions about how much to put in or how much not to put in, that'll be taken away. You have an automatic deduction based upon what each employee decides. And then second, there'll be professional management of the retirement funds, not just each of us trying to figure out what's best upon reading a paper or talking to a friend. We'll have professionals manage the funds, which means hopefully the investments will work out better. So this is exactly what we want to discuss tonight. Be glad to get any questions that people have about this retirement plan or the position under which people retire now and how we can address it. So I want to turn it back over to you, but I did want to provide that basic introduction. We are trying to help solve the retirement crisis that many families encounter when they get to 65, 75, and 85 years old?
Thank you, Senator. Just a reminder for those that have just joined us and throughout this evening, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Senator Brown, you press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad. If you have a question tonight for Senator Haywood or Senator Brown, as we go through this evening, I want to introduce our first live poll question to give those that have joined us an opportunity to express their views. The first question is, if your workplace does not have a retirement savings plan, would you want a retirement savings option through the state? If you do, you can press 1. If you do not, you can press 2. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Senator Brown tonight, we're talking about retirement security and legislation that they've introduced relative to retirement security and a plan that would help folks put away money for retirement to help them through tough times after they're concluded working. Again, if you have a question, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. And, Senator, before we bring some folks online, I have a follow-up question for both Senator Brown and yourself. And you can talk a little bit about the process that you used in relative to putting Senate Bill 862 together. And I know there was a report by the state treasurer that talked a lot about and provided some foundation for your legislation. Senator Brown, if you'd like to talk about that, and then we'll bring in Senator Haywood and then go to the callers.
Yeah, it was a very thorough process that included stakeholders throughout the state, those who manage retirement accounts, business people, individuals, to assess the challenge. And it confirmed a lot of things that that Art had spelled out, that we have a substantial number of people in Pennsylvania who have no access to retirement security now. I think the numbers are around 2 million people. And the part of the challenge is there's no plan that's currently offered by an employer, and the challenges employers have maintaining those accounts for people. And also mentioned the larger picture in terms of what it means to Pennsylvania's financial and economic future, and that a lot of individuals will look to public support for long-term care in their more senior years. And if our current situation bears out in the future, the estimates are $14 billion additional cost to the rest of the taxpaying community if we don't address this. And one of the things that I just wanted to point out, I think that's important from a standpoint of what we've already done, is we have identified areas that are important for savings that the state maintains, and one of them is education. And it's maintained. The 529 plans are very popular, and we maintain those through the Treasury. Savings for education, savings for retirement, they're very important things. And since we already have a model that works, it seems that following that model for retirement would make sense as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that is a core framework. We know that there are about 10 states in the nation that are moving forward with somewhat similar plans. Oregon is moving forward, Illinois, California, Maryland. And so we are really amongst the leaders. We can be amongst the leaders in the United States in moving a plan forward so that individuals can save for retirement. I learned today that there's a total of 40 states, almost every state, 40 states who are thinking about it. But I think we're beyond thinking about it. We've had a tremendous study done with the Treasurer's Office, and we've got legislation in the works. So I think we're ready to move in Pennsylvania. And fortunately, this has had bipartisan Senate and Democrats and Republicans, and we have participation from leaders of the House and the Senate. So this is what we call bicameral House and Senate, and bipartisan Democrats and Republicans. And this is a tremendous demonstration that on issues of importance, we can work together to try to help the residents of our state.
Thank you, Senator. Senators, we're going to go to our first caller in 1 second here, but just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Brown or Senator Haywood this evening, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you'd like to participate in our live poll question, the first question tonight is, if your workplace does not have a retirement savings plan, would you want a retirement savings option through the state? If you do, you press 1. If you do not, you can press 2. Senators, we're going to go to our first caller this evening. We're going to go to Brianna. Brianna, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Senator Brown. Brianna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So you're live with Senators Haywood and Brown.
Hello?
Yes, Brianna, go ahead. Hi. Go ahead. What's your question?
Hi.
Hi.
I was just wondering, with the IRA, the contributions to an IRA, are they tax deductible?
Yes.
Yes, contributions to IRAs are, depending if you have another pension plan, and your income, contributions are deductible for an IRA. That's correct.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you so much.
And I'm so glad you asked that question, Brianna, because we know there's a lot of information out about retirement, IRAs, Roth IRAs, 403B, 401K, all these various numbers and acronyms. And so our plan would be tax-free. And but anyone else who's calling in who has a retirement-related question that may not be directly on the Keystone Savers Plan, we will try our best to address it. So you got a retirement question. If we can address it in this call, we will.
Brianna, thank you very much for your call. Before we go to our next caller, just a reminder, if you'd like to ask Senator Haywood or Senator Brown, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's *3 on your phone's keypad. And while we have some other folks coming online, just as a follow-up question, Senator Haywood, you mentioned a number of savings vehicles and through the workplace, Senator Brown mentioned a pension contribution. Can you talk a little bit of just in terms of that effort on their own, of 401k, an IRA, how does that relate to the plan that's included in Senate Bill 862?
So thanks for the question. Let me give you a big picture. So saving for retirement should already include Social Security. As you build a retirement plan for yourself, you're going to have a Social Security number in there. So that's number one. Number two, you will need savings, personal savings, as part of your retirement plan. Now, we have a way to save where the business owner may match or make some contribution to your savings plan for retirement. In the nonprofit world, it's a statute called 403B. In the for-profit world, it's 401K. Those are all employer, your business owner-sponsored plans, and then hopefully they will offer them to you. Unfortunately, we know there's over 2 million people who are working someplace where there is no employer-sponsored plan, none in the nonprofit and none in the for-profit world. And so given that, we realize that those individuals need to have some money saved for retirement. And so this is what our plan does, is it allows those individuals to have automatic payroll deduction, tax-free for retirement. Now, those who are in a plan, a 403B or 401K, where the employer is already sponsoring the plan, stay in it. That's separate than what we are doing. If you've got an employer-sponsored plan, that's for you. What we are doing is making up for the difference, those who are not in an employer-sponsored plan. And the employer-sponsored plans generally have higher amounts that you can save, and that's important. Then the final element for some are these pension programs, where there's a set amount of money you'll get based on years of service, typically. And these are the so-called defined benefit plans. But those are really decreasing in the economy, decreasing in society. And so much of the responsibility is on each of us to save what we can toward retirement. And finally, well, not finally, but finally for this point, the earlier an individual can begin to save for retirement, it will have a dramatic impact on how much is available. Those who are 25 or 28, if you can begin to save for retirement, that money will significantly grow. If you're at 55, it's not too late. But particularly those who can begin to save early will have a dramatic impact on how much is available at the point of retirement. I hope that was helpful.
Senator Braun, do you have anything to add?
One of the features of the plan that is important because of the nature of work in the economy is it is not employer specific. If someone changes their job, since the plan is maintained by the Commonwealth, it is owned by the account holder, and the employee will take that plan with them. And that's important because the nature of the economy, people looking for other opportunities, people change jobs. The other piece that's also important for flexibility, depending on where people are in their other obligations, is there is an option to increase the contribution by employees over time. I think the current proposal we have is starting at 3% of payroll up to 8%. Give some flexibility for additional savings given other obligations that people have.
Thank you, Senators. Again, if you have a question for Senators Haywood or Braun about retirement security, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senators, we're going to go to John. John, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Braun.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing tonight?
Good. Hey, thanks for calling.
Good. I was wondering, when you turn 70, you have to start drawing down your IRA contributions. Hopefully Washington is going to change that to age 72. But when you draw them down incrementally, you have to federally declare it as income. Do you have to declare it as state income also?
Go ahead. Retirement income as of now, and I don't see this changing, under Pennsylvania law, is not subject to state taxation.
When you draw it down?
When you draw it down, that's correct.
That's 70. Okay, that's what I was wondering. That's good news. Now, the feds are going to push it to 72, I believe.
Yeah, whatever age you are in Pennsylvania, retirement earnings are not taxable.
Well, this is not a retirement earning. This is an IRA contribution.
Well, it would be a retirement. It would be a retirement plan. It would fit into the category of what is defined in Pennsylvania tax law as retirement earnings.
Okay.
So it would not be subject to Pennsylvania tax.
Well, that's good news then. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Thank you very much for the call. Again, before we go to our next caller, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Senator Braun about retirement security, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. And before we move to our next caller, I want to introduce our second live poll question. And our second live poll question is, do you currently have savings for retirement? If you do, you can press *1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press *2. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Braun, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senators, just before we get back into the callers, can you talk a little bit about the end result? So there will be a plan administer under your program, under Senate Bill 862. And when they start drawing down, are there fees associated with that when they do it relative to the administration of the plan, or how does that work?
So I think in terms of plan administration, the plan will be administered under our proposal through the Treasurer's Office, And it'd be very similar, maybe not quite identical, but very similar to the 529 approach. We have had a number of discussions about terms under which a person may be able to withdraw early, but I can't say that's all resolved at this point. There's some who want more latitude than others in terms of early withdrawal and whether there would be a penalty or no penalty. There are some tax consequences of early withdrawal that are from the federal government that obviously we in the state can't do anything about. But whether there be any kind of additional state penalty or fee, I'm not sure that's fully addressed. Pat, what's your sense of that one?
The minister would be the Treasury Department. Because of that and because of the scale of this, the costs associated with managing it will be relatively opposed to some other retirement plans where the asset base is very small, the fees will be very low. And they would be part of the overall asset base that's maintained by the Treasury. So there wouldn't be any fees for transactions on the plans. They would just be built into the overall value of the plan and its rate of return. So all I can say is in managing this, because it's done by the Treasurer, just like the 529 plans are, the fee structure, the cost of the Treasurer maintaining it is going to be very low, and it will have very little effect on the asset values that people will have when they retire.
Thank you. Again, appreciate that. We're going to move on to our next caller. We're going to move on to Vanessa. Vanessa, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Brown.
Hello. My question is, with the Keystone Saver, is there like a specific age when a person can participate in that program? Is age 50, 55? And my second question was that, understand in the beginning that there would be automatic withdrawal. Is that like a percentage of the person's paycheck that would go into the account?
So, yes, on the age, and thank you, Vanessa. An individual can start at any age as long as they are employed. So if you're 18 or 19 or 20, okay. As long as a person is employed, they can begin to allow a certain amount of their money to go for retirement savings. And that amount will be designated by each employee.
Okay.
We will not have so employees will be able to choose the amount that they do want to contribute. Now, we will have a default rate, and I think we're thinking about 3% of income, which is obviously a very small amount of money out of a monthly check. You know, obviously, depending on what your check looks like. But we want individuals to begin to save for retirement early.
Okay.
And really, the earlier, the better. And if it's $25 a month or $20 a month or $30 a month, even those amounts count. Because right now, there's many people getting to 65 and the amount that they have saved is zero. People getting the age of 70, the amount that they have saved is $1,000. And so, you know, we can't go very far with a zero, or really can't hardly go far with $1,000. So I'm not saying this is the cure all for retirement. I am not. This is just another piece of savings that can help a family or individual along. It's not the cure all, but I do believe it's an important step along the way.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Senator Brown?
I want to also second what Art's saying regarding the timing of this. For those who begin work out of school early on, the value of these plans, like all these savings plans, is enormously escalated for the number of years that you're actually putting money in, and the savings is tax deferred. If you're saving at a 6% rate for for a whole working life, the numbers that you'll have in the at the end of that are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for many people with average with an average paycheck, and that is something that will, you know, do it like things to security people have for the cost of retirement. So obviously you don't want to stipulate when someone they begin working and want to start later, but the challenge with retirement now is some of the products that are offered, especially 401ks, allow for a lot of different things to be done with that money. Loaning out against it, first home, things that are exceptions to taking the money out. We want to stress this as a pure retirement savings vehicle because of the nature of savings over time. If people keep their money in for a long period of time, it will be a very meaningful part of the retirement portfolio in Pennsylvania.
Vanessa, thank you very much for your question. I appreciate it. And before we move on to our next caller, just a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Brown, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Brown, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Our live poll question, if you'd like to participate, the question is, do you currently have savings for retirement? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Senators, we're going to go back to the caller. We're going to Geraldine. Geraldine, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Brown.
Yes, Senator Brown. As a part-time worker, I want to get into this program or this whatever it is, do I need to get a full-time job? Because my part-time job only pays $10 an hour. And if they're going to take out whatever they designate they're going to take out for me to get into this program, I ain't going to have nothing. I'm already 74, and how many more years am I going to live? Would it be 10, does it take 10 years for it to accumulate to anything that I could benefit from? I don't have any guarantees I'm going to live 10 more years. Do I need to go get a full-time job at this point?
I don't think, Art, that we are designating full or part-time at this point.
Correct.
This program. Anything that you can save by being not paying Pennsylvania tax or being having your federal taxes deferred is something that will have some value. Whether you decide, it is something that we are drafting to allow initially for everyone to be auto-enrolled at Art said, the 3% default rate. But if your circumstances are such that you have other obligations, people and employees can opt out. That is something they can do. But we're trying to encourage, at least initially, for people to be enrolled because any savings for whatever period of time, obviously for a longer period of time, but whatever period of time, is going to have some value later. And there's a substantial problem right now regarding the savings rate we have in my constituency and people Art represents across Pennsylvania.
Now, Geraldine, thanks for calling. It's definitely voluntary, so no one's going to force you or anyone else to save at any particular rate. We're encouraging it, but if folks can opt out, they don't want to do it, they don't have to. So that's not. We do want to make that clear. This is not compelling savings. It's no requirement. We're creating a big incentive by getting everybody enrolled in the program once it's passed, and we got some time before it gets passed. But before the legislation is finally approved. But whenever it's approved, we will still have a choice for people to make whether they want to be in or not in. We'll have a way. People have the way to get out. I also want to share that at age 74, so we have an IRA structure to this. Pat, I'm not sure what the rules are for contributions over the age at her at 72, 74. Are there any particular rules with respect to contribution? I know there's some with respect to withdrawal.
there is rules regarding withdrawal. 70 and a half, you have to start withdrawing from an IRA account. We will have to get a ruling from the IRS if this is considered what is a Roth IRA or a regular IRA, because with a Roth IRA, you can make contributions after that age. I'm expecting that it will be in the category of a regular IRA, and then after that age, after 70 and a half, you are supposed to be withdrawing from that account and not contributing. That's still an open question, Art, regarding how that will be treated.
Understood.
But there is differences between the regular Roth IRA and a regular IRA, whether you can make contributions after 70 and a half. I would prefer that the bill itself and how it's treated is treated as a Roth, so people can contribute after that age. That would be my preference in how it's finally implemented by the Treasurer.
Thank you.
Geraldine, thank you very much for your question. Before we go to our next caller, just as a reminder for those that have joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Senator Brown, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. *3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question this evening on retirement security. Senators, we're going to go to Carol in Montgomery County. Carol, go ahead. You're live with Senators Haywood and Brown.
Good evening, Senators. My question is, in what types of financial instruments will these funds be invested?
Very good question.
So I'll give a first shot at that. And the Treasurer's Office intends to manage these funds very similar to how the funds are managed for college savings under the 529 plan. And so we're anticipating there'll be several, probably less than a dozen investment choices, and that the investment choices will be different kinds, will deal with different kinds of risk. We have some very moderate risk to maybe some more higher risk, depending on what each individual may want to choose. And so we'll have, and I anticipate there'll be various mutual funds that will be where people can invest or not invest based upon how much risk they want to take. That's pretty much the program that the Treasurer currently has for to encourage people to save for higher education. I'm pretty sure we'll have a similar model. What's your sense of that, Pat?
I agree with you, Art. It's similar to other retirement vehicles. People will have choices of different funds, and each fund will have a different risk profile to it. Conservative cash, conservative bond funds, equity funds, emerging market funds that people can choose to have a balance of risk. There will also be a default option for participants that is very common these days, and it's called a life cycle fund. And what it is, it has a mix of assets that are appropriate for someone who's 20 years old, 30, 40, and it changes over time so that when you're closer to retirement age, it's a more conservative fund. I've seen those life cycle funds work very well for people, and that'll definitely be the default option for people to choose if they don't want to go through the time and choosing all these different funds, which can be difficult. Part of the program will also include a retirement education component for employees so that they can make those choices appropriately given their different ages and risk profiles. But I think what we're looking at is a good mix of for workers of what their own preferences are and what is the best in terms of retirement savings.
Carol,
may I add?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, we just lost Carol. I apologize. If Carol can call back in, we'll put you back on the line. That's my fault. Again, but for those who have joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood and Senator Brown, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. And again, I apologize. to Carol, and we'll get you on back on with a follow-up question. So we're going to be putting her back on the line very soon. In the meantime, we're going to go to John. John, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Brown.
Hello.
Hey, John, go ahead. How's it going?
Oh, we're doing fine so far. I was just wondering, with regard to the retirement, if it's possible to start instructing or teaching how to save before the retirement age, because the retirement coming in might be insufficient to meet your needs.
That is definitely right. Whether it's Social Security or pension or whatever other source, we often find that individuals come up short at retirement. And I was on the aging committee here in the state Senate and met a number of people in the aging community who said to me it was common for folks to reach the age of 85 or 86, having worked all their lives, and get pretty close to running out of money, at least to cover their expenses. So that's right. The Treasurer's Office has included in our legislation aspect of financial literacy, so that there will be educational materials provided to individuals who desperately need advice. John, have you been on one or two calls before?
Before, yes, I have.
Yes, I remember your voice, and I think we've had somewhat of a similar conversation about the importance of getting literacy education into the public schools so the young people can understand what's at stake early on. I'm 100% for that, and really appreciate your involvement and attentive to the issues that are facing our community. Thanks so much.
John, thank you very much for your question. Senators, we're going to go back to Carol. And again, Carol, I apologize for hitting the wrong button up here. Carol, go ahead. You're live with Senators Haywood and Brown.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to add that AARP has available on their website and in their various publications a wealth of information about saving for retirement, which I have found to be very interesting and helpful in my planning.
Yes, and thank you so much for mentioning AARP. They were at the roundtable meeting today in Allentown and discussing retirement savings, and AARP is one of the leading supporters of the legislation that Pat Brown and I are putting forward. So I agree, they've got a wealth of information, and they're really a tremendous supporter of what we're trying to do. Thank you. Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
Carol, thank you very much for your question. Now we're going to go to Ms. Smith, our next caller. Ms. Smith, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Senator Brown.
Hi. Second question I have is, are you guys able to discuss the key differences of the Roth and traditional IRA? And then, for the tax reporting purposes, how does that work?
I think I'll yield to Senator Brown on that one.
Well, the primary difference between the two is a Roth, a regular IRA is something that you can contribute to and receive a tax deduction on your tax return, depending on whether you have another retirement plan that you participate in work. A Roth IRA is something you contribute to and don't receive a tax deduction on your return, but grows tax-free over time. So that both have a tremendous benefit in terms of what is the biggest part of any retirement, and that's the earnings on those contributions. Now, in any retirement account that you're maintaining for a long period of time, 70% of the total value is in the earnings. So that is, the tax implications of that are huge. Now, the difference, there is a difference when you retire now, because when you retire with a a regular IRA, everything, because you've received a tax deduction for it, everything is taxable. Where in a Roth IRA, the only thing that's taxable is the earnings. So it is really important for you to evaluate each one of these based on your own needs, because it depends on where you are in terms of your age, how much you'll put in, when you'll be retiring, whether each one of those is of value to you. It's a case-by-case scenario. But those are the basic differences. I also must note that for Pennsylvania tax purposes, both of these vehicles are tax-free. When you take the money out, in a regular IRA or a Roth IRA, the earnings on both of them are tax-free for Pennsylvania.
Okay, so the earnings are tax-free. You mean the contribution, correct?
Contributions on both, and the earnings on both are tax-free in Pennsylvania. In Washington, when you take them out under federal law, it's different. They're the federal tax code taxes pensions. So how much you will pay depends on which one you've done in the past, if you've done a regular IRA or a Roth. Because if you have a regular IRA, you deduct the contributions up front. So when you take them out, they're taxable. In a Roth IRA, you don't. So the only thing that's taxable on those is the earnings. That's the basic difference between the two. It would be hard for me to advise you which one's best for you, because it depends on your own circumstances. Those are the two basic differences between the two of them.
Okay, and one last thing. I have to hang up soon, but I was wondering, how do I sign up for this that you guys are offering? Because I have a 401k through my job, and I wanted to add another piece of retirement.
So first, I got to share with you that what we are talking about is legislation that we have proposed.
Okay.
This has not passed yet. We're trying to make sure people are aware of the direction in which we're headed, but this is not a completed action yet. This is legislation that we propose that we hope to get passed very soon.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Smith, thank you very much. For your question, again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Senator Brown this evening on retirement security, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad, and we have one final live poll question, and that question is, if you currently save for retirement, do you have over $5,000 saved? If you do, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Again, if you have questions for Senator Haywood or Brown this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. I would like to follow up just before we get back into any of the callers. If we can just talk a little bit about what Ms. Smith just raised. She has a 401k at work. She wants to augment that. Is there an advantage to doing that, or should she manage that? How should she manage that? What's the best approach for someone who would like to do that?
Yeah, that's a level of decision making I don't think I could get involved in. I don't know, Pat. Do you have any general guidance you want to provide? I'd be reluctant to do that.
One of the important things, at least in terms of our legislation now, but legislation is a work in progress, it always is that right now it's drafted to provide for a retirement plan for employers that already are not offering one. So if someone is working in two different places, has a 401k in one, the other place doesn't offer a plan, our current draft would allow that person to have both. But right now, if someone is being offered a 401k, right now we're trying to center this on those situations where someone does not have access to a retirement, employer-sponsored retirement plan. So there wouldn't be any need to manage both of them in the same employer, because that's, at this point in time, what we're offering. But these questions are important, because if what we hear is we need to allow for that offering by existing employers that have a plan, because they're not strong enough now, then it's something we can consider.
And again, just to follow up on we were talking here about the legislation going forward. You've introduced your bill strategically between the legislation introduced in the Senate, in the House. How do you plan on proceeding going forward and trying to move the legislation?
So what I can say is, at least on the Senate side, we have introduced something called a memo to get the support of other senators, and we received a significant of level of bipartisan support for the legislation on the Senate side. And on the House side, I understand that they will soon introduce the same request amongst House members to join on as co-sponsors of the legislation. We have one or two issues still yet to resolve. Hopefully they will be resolved in the weeks in the forthcoming few weeks, and that the House and Senate hopefully will introduce the identical piece of legislation early, at least hopefully sometime in November, so that the House and the Senate are both moving forward with the same bipartisan piece of legislation. And that is what we hope to see, at least that's what I hope to see happen. I know that the governor is in support of this kind of legislation. If we can get it through the legislature, I'm confident that he would sign it. But I'm so encouraged that from the outset we have, again, bipartisan and bicameral support, and we've just got to continue to push to get this to the finish line to benefit all the Pennsylvanians who are in such desperate need of assistance in saving for retirement.
The other important, at least process matter to mention is myself and Senator Haywood are working on the bill in the Senate, but the House sponsor is the chairman of the House Finance Committee, where the bill would originate. So having someone who chairs the committee that the bill would go to is a very important step in terms of what tends to be a more difficult process, and that is the House, because of its 203 members. So that's a very positive thing.
Well, thank you, Senators. We're going to move to our next caller. We're going to go to Gwen. Gwen, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and Brown.
Hey, I hope I can explain this right. I've been retired for some time, and, you know, once you turn 70 and a half, you're required to take a certain amount of money out of your IRA account?
Yes.
That's correct.
Has that money been taxed before you took it out, and then it's being re-taxed at your account as income at the end of the year again?
If you deducted the money, and this would be something that the financial institution that manages that for you would report to you, if you had deducted it when you first contributed to it, when it's taken out, the amount you take out, the whole amount would be taxed, including that's by under federal law, not in Harrisburg. In Harrisburg, in Pennsylvania law, it is tax-free. It just depends on whether you deducted your contributions when you made them. If you didn't, then it's the only thing that's taxed is the earnings on the money as you take it out. That should be reported to you each year by your financial institution on a 1099. They should report to you how much is taken out and how much is taxed. So it should be something that's provided to you every year in around January 31st.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gwen, for the question. Again, before we move on to our next caller, just as a follow-up question. So the legislation's already introduced in the Senate. It's moving forward in the House. And if folks are interested in commenting on this legislation, Where should they turn? What should they do in order to build support for this?
So we're still finishing up the legislation, not quite introduced in the Senate or in the House. However, individuals who have questions about what will be included should certainly contact me in my office, 215-242-8171, and we would be glad to answer any questions that a person has. You can also reach me via my website at senatorhaywood.com. We'd be glad to answer any question that an individual may have regarding what we are trying to achieve, any level of detail that we can provide to answer the question, and we'd be glad to do it.
Thank you very much. Senators, we're coming down the home stretch now. I know you have some concluding comments you'd like to make. Senator Brown?
Well, first, just to, again, commend Senator Haywood for his work on this. No effort like this, in order to get it done, is an easy effort, given what we're talking about here. But its implications are so big to so many things. And that is the security of families, the financial security of the entire Commonwealth in terms of our ability to continue to balance our books and provide for our citizens. So what Senator Haywood's doing in advancing this, and I'm very happy to work along with him, is extremely important. We have a very good team to work with, including the Treasurer of the Commonwealth and some strong people in the House. I really believe in doing this will not only improve the financial security for families, but improve our economy, as companies will have stronger things to offer employees in order to attract them to the workforce. There's a lot of advantages to this. But like a lot of things we do, the more support we get from the communities that we serve and constituents that are interested, the more likely it's going to happen. So I encourage that as well. So just wanted to thank Senator Haywood for being on the call and look forward to working with him.
And everyone, thank you, Senator Brown. We have, I agree, a tremendous team. I'm so glad that you are a part of it and providing leadership. And I think we together can get this done. Very much want to thank Brianna, John, Vanessa, Geraldine, Carol, John, Ms. Smith, and Gwen, all for calling in and sharing your thoughts and raising your questions. As I said at the early on, some of the best feedback and ideas we received are directly from these telephone town halls. This has been a great discussion, and again, want to thank Senator Brown for his leadership. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. Again, if you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171, or you can visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Senators. Before we bring the call to a close, I do want to report back the results of the poll question. The first live poll question was, if your workplace does not have a retirement savings plan, would you want a retirement savings option through the state? 78% of those who participated suggested they would. 22% said they would not. Second question was, do you currently have a savings for retirement? 60% indicated that they did, and 40% indicated that they didn't. Our third live poll question was, if you currently save for retirement, do you have over $5,000 saved? 80% indicated they did, and 20% indicated they didn't. Again, I'd like to thank Senator Brown and Senator Haywood for this live telephone town hall. You've been a wonderful audience, and have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.